If you see some of us looking a little droopier than usual, it might be because of the energy used towards VBS last week, and I think that was just a success. It was a really good thing, and so thank you for all the people who volunteered and really helped with that. If you were here on Wednesday, you saw some of the visual things that were done to kind of create a more immersive experience, but I think a lot of good was accomplished this past week, so thank you all for those who put in your time and effort and energy. For my part, this year I got to be one of my more favorite Bible characters, Elisha, and not Pharaoh, one of the more despicable Bible characters. So I got an upgrade this year, so that was really good. You can turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. That's going to be the first verse that we look at. I'm so thankful to God that I can bring a part of His Word to us this morning for our consideration, because we're talking about being in the world, not of the world. We're going to talk about some lies that the world tells us, specifically the idea of listening to your heart. Because this month is the idea of the battle for our minds. We've been talking about soldiers of Christ this year. And so we've been talking about the armor of God. We've been talking about different battles we have been facing and battles we're going to talk about. And this month comes this idea of not being swept into worldliness, not being swept into the idea. And we want to be thoughtful about the lies that the devil tells us. That's really what this lesson, God willing, part two will be next week. But this is about Revelation 12:9 makes it. Revelation 12:9, Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. You see that the devil has deceived basically everybody. And the fact is, the lies that brought people under the influence of Satan in the first century are probably different than the lies that bring people today. It's just a different world, different culture, different things that the devil is using, different ideas. But overall, the world is just so much wrapped up in the power of Satan. Here's the thing. The lies of the devil are not going to come into your life or into your family, into your home, looking like this. If I was in my backyard raking and a snake started talking to me and saying, "You don't need to listen to God," I don't think I would listen to that snake. I don't think that's how it would get me. The devil's going to have to do some more subtle things than what worked back in the Garden of Eden to trick Eve and to get Adam to sin. He's going to use different things, more subtle things. The lies of the devil are going to come in 100 ways. I'm breaking this down into two categories. People we know, people we don't know. But they're coming from people. People we know are going to be our friends, our associates in this world, our neighbors, the people we're coming into contact with in person. But then there's other lies that are coming to us from people we don't know. I'm just going to call that the media, because that's still stuff coming to us from people. It's just people we don't know. Now, maybe you're best friends with a Hollywood superstar or, you know, some newscaster somewhere, but probably not. They live, you know, in L.A. or New York or place like that. It's going to be coming from people, though, people whose ideas and words and lives are brought into our homes through the media. So we're still being mindful of those kinds of things. Here's the thing, is that the lies of the devil are going to sound reasonable. They're going to sound like pretty good ideas. Paul says it this way. This is such a helpful thing for us to think about. Colossians 2:4. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. When the devil makes his case and tries to persuade us and bring us in, it's going to sound plausible. If it sounded totally ridiculous, it wouldn't grab everybody in the world. You know, there's a reason why those ideas are powerful, because they do grab certain things in our hearts or certain things that we want to believe. And they're going to be plausible arguments. That's what makes Satan's lies so convincing, is they're convincing. And they grab hold of us. So that's the kind of thing that we're wanting to be mindful of. We're kind of focusing on that sort of thing here this month. And really, with this idea, I also realized that this was Eve's problem back with the serpent in the Garden of Eden. When the devil was tempting her and say, "You should do this thing that God has forbidden," what the serpent said kind of made sense. I mean, if you fully thought that through, you would say, well, why would God make you if he wasn't on your side, if he wasn't good? You can trust God. All those things that would ultimately make sense. But there was enough of that why is God keeping that from you? Did he really say that? That doesn't sound so good. And there was a sense and an appeal to that. What Satan said was a mixture of truth and lies. It will make them wiser. It will kind of open up their spiritual palate some if you do this. And it appealed to the kind of thing that Eve would want. Her own natural desires played into it. And when she looked at that fruit, it sure didn't look like it would kill her. Genesis 3:6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was a delight to the eyes. The tree was to be desired to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. God said this fruit will kill you. And when she looked at it, it did not look like a fruit that would kill her. It wasn't, oozing, gross, decaying fruit liquids. It looked good. It looked desirable. There's no way this is going to kill me. And so it sucked her in. She disobeyed God and brought death to her and to Adam. So we're talking about a battle for our minds. And the lie that I really want us to focus on this morning is one that we hear over and over again in our society. And that is, listen to your heart. Or you might say, follow your heart. And it just comes to us in so many ways. In the songs and in the media and the movies and the TV and the books we read, listen to your heart, follow your heart. Here's some different ways that it might show up. Different wording, similar root to all these things. You decide what's best for you. You get to pick the path of your life, and that is for you to decide. Look inside of you for that. You have life's answers inside of you. Just look inside. That's where you're going to have the source of happiness, the source of what your life should be. Listen to your feelings. Act on your feelings. If you feel a certain way, be authentic with yourself and act and follow those feelings. Do what makes you happy. If you think something's going to make you happy, that's what you should do. That's how you should live your life. And those are the kind of things that the world tells us in one way or another all the time. But here's what God's Word tells us, and that's what we're going to look at here this morning. The Bible says, don't trust your heart. Don't trust your heart. Your heart will deceive you. Be careful, and instead, listen to God. Fear God. Trust God. You can trust in God. You can't trust in your heart. Let me just give you some examples of this, and then we're going to look into Bible verses. We've all seen the movies, the kinds of movies where this shows up. I think predominantly there's a real thrust in kids' movies that have this. So here's the movie. In three bullet points, here's the whole plot. The hero decides to follow his heart. Even if that means disobeying mom and dad, I don't care what mom and dad say. I'm going to follow my heart. I'm going to listen to my heart. It doesn't matter if I'm going against social norms. I'm going to risk this and give just some kind of specific examples. It doesn't matter if you're a rat. If you want to be a cook, you can transcend rathood and rise up and be a cook. Or it doesn't matter if, everyone knows that dragons are bad. No, if you find a dragon, you should train your dragon and do all those kinds of things. So throw off, it doesn't matter what your parents tell you to do. Throw that off for sure. Social norms, traditional morality, throw that off. And then the hero's friends, the hero's family, and it could be a girl, of course, could be heroine. The hero's friends and families at first, they resist these weird choices, right? That's weird. Why are you wanting to do that? But by the end of the movie, everyone's on board, right? They're supportive. They're accepting. Look, if you want to do this with your life, I'm here for you. He was right all along. We were so backwards and stuck in the mud and silly with our ideas. Silly us for thinking that. And so, of course, the hero finds great fulfillment in following their heart. And they're going to find great happiness, and they probably even saved the day, right? Good thing that guy broke the mold and broke these norms, and he saved the day, everything. So here's the takeaway, of course, from movie after movie after movie that says this, is you should follow your heart. And if your heart wants to do something, that's what you should do. And it's our job to be very supportive and to support people who follow their heart. We need to encourage them. Don't be a stick in the mud. Don't be so backwards and weird. You know, if that's what's going to make them happy, it's your job to support them and to love them and encourage them in them. Now, I want you to be honest with yourself. Is this a theme in movies and books today? You know, as I've been getting this sermon ready, there's that song. I don't know if it's from the 80s or whatever, but listen to your heart. And that song just keeps coming into my head as I could work around this sermon. And I'm so sorry if it gets in your head as you're listening to the sermon. But that's literally the words that people are saying. Look at t-shirts today. Are there t-shirts that basically say this, you know? That kind of idea. Listen to your heart. Is there some truth in this notion of, you know, following your desires? Absolutely. There is some truth in that. And maybe that's why this is so dangerous. It is because, you know, if you do have desires and you're in a bad society, you should rise up above your bad society. I was talking about this very thing with Jake Schaffner a few weeks ago and movies that have this theme. And his point was, you know, if you're coming from a family that's content with mediocrity, but you decide, I want to work hard, or I want to, you know, be the first person in my family to graduate from high school or get a college degree, rise above that. You can do that. Okay, so there's some truth in that. You know, in fact, the last lesson, we're talking about that point from Ecclesiastes, which said, live the adventure of what you want to do with your life in Christ. You've decided to follow Christ, so go do exciting things, things that sound exciting to you. That's great. But, you know, Ecclesiastes also warned us that there's a judgment and that God's going to judge your life and that everything, every secret thing will be brought into the judgment. And I don't think the movies mention that. I don't think the movies mention that if you follow your heart, God's going to judge you for that. And God's going to judge your life. That's the problem. That's the problem that we see. I'm going to throw down the hammer with the big verse right here at the beginning. This just nails it on the head. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? That's our verse. Now we'll look at other verses that make this same point. But here's the idea is you can't trust your heart. You can't follow your heart. The answers are not inside of you. It's not in man who walks to direct his steps because the heart is deceitful. Here's 4 points from this one verse. Number one, it says, your heart will deceive you. If you follow your heart, I'm going to do what seems right to me. That's going to lead you in bad places. Your heart will deceive you. It's deceptive. It lies to you. Your heart misleads you. It misguides you. If you follow your heart, it's going to lead you in wrong directions. It's lying to you. Don't listen to your heart. You can't listen to your heart. It's not a trustworthy guide at all. It's the worst guide because it's deceptive. It's deceitful and it's sick. Number two, it says the heart is deceitful every once in a while. No. Does it say that your heart was deceitful? But now that you're a little bit older, now you get it and you have all the answers? No. It says the heart's deceitful above all things. It's not something that might happen to you, you know, every once in a while in your life. You know, back in third grade, you know, that kid pushed me down in the playground. I was so mad. And I just knew in my heart I needed to push him back and get my revenge. But, you know, I learned from that I shouldn't get revenge. And so, whoo, good thing that my heart's not going to deceive me anymore after that happened 20 years ago in third grade. Is that what it says? It says, no, the heart's deceitful above all things. And I don't know if that means that above all the things your heart does, number one is it deceives you. Maybe it's that of all the sources of pulls in your life, your own heart the most deceives you. But it says the heart is deceptive, deceitful above all things. What we learn as Christians is this is a regular process our hearts have to go through. And I continually learn, don't follow what I want, my desires, how I'd like to live my life. No, I need to learn to follow God and I submit myself to God in 100 ways. And as I continue to grow older, my heart keeps working against me. And I have these desires now that I didn't have 10 years ago because now I'm a dad or now I'm a grandparent or now I've got a bigger job. And I keep working on my heart because my heart is continually deceitful. Point number three says your heart is sick. And it doesn't just say your heart's a little sick. It says your heart is desperately sick. Your heart is a diseased organ. It's not functioning as it should. Your heart should not be guiding your life to listen to your heart. It's sick. It's terrible. It's diseased. You need to follow something bigger and better, more truthful than following your heart. Number four, who can understand it? We struggle to even understand why our heart wants what it does, right? Why do I long for that? Why do I crave that? Why am I struggling as a parent in this area? Why do I keep doing that over and over again? I may never understand why my heart craves what it does. Our society's a little obsessed with self-analysis and looking at myself and trying to figure out every reason. There's some value in that, of course. There really is some value in that. But at the end of the day, I might not figure out why my heart craves X, Y, and Z. I don't need to, because it's deceitful, and I'm not going to fully understand my heart. I want us to read this verse here, Jeremiah 17:9, in its context, just to see what the surrounding verses say. These are great verses. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. Do you see that? That's a great line. Whose trust is the Lord. My trust is in the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water that sends its roots by the stream and doesn't fear when the heat comes, for his leaves remain green, and it's not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things. Desperately sick. Who can understand it? God says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. You see that? Don't trust your heart. Trust the Lord. And he doesn't just say, trust the Lord. He says, make your trust the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. And when we do that, we provide a stable life, a strong life that we build on the Lord, like a tree planted by the water. God says, I search the heart and the mind. I know what's going on in your heart. Don't trust your heart. Don't follow your heart. Well, what are some Bible examples of people who did this, who kind of seem to follow their heart, who listen to their heart? What is it that I want? I'm going to live my path, forge my own trail, live that kind of life. I don't know if any examples come to your mind, but what about the prodigal son? Right? There he is living in the sticks of Galilee. It doesn't say he lived in Galilee, but that's where probably Jesus is teaching this. And so that's kind of the natural setting of it. And who wants to live in the country and the sticks? And the bright lights of the city seem so exciting. And all the excitement out there and these weird things that my parents do, like keep the Sabbath every week and keep these dietary laws and they go to the temple and all this weird stuff with this weird religion. Who even knows where this came from? I'm ditching this. Dad, give me my inheritance. I'm getting out of here. And he goes to a far-off country, and the lights of the city enchanted him, and he loses it all, spending in riotous, terrible living. I think the prodigal son listened to his heart. I think that was his problem. What about Samson? Samson, who keeps getting in trouble in his life because he keeps following his eyes. And Lee, in your judges class, I'm probably stepping on what you just covered with this. But Samson sees a woman he's not supposed to marry, not supposed to have. He says to his father, get her for me, for she is right in my eyes. I want her. It's got to be right. If I want this thing, surely I can have it. If I've got an itch, surely I'm allowed to scratch it. And he did what was right in his eyes. Really, that's just a sentiment of people in the days of the judges overall, Judges 21-25. In those days, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Do you see how that's just another way of saying they followed their heart? This is right to me. I looked inside, and I was sitting there one day, and this is what I want to do with my life. I looked inside, and I listened to my feelings. I'm going to act on that. That's my truth. That's what I'm going to do with my life. And they did what was right in their own eyes. Here's what the Proverbs say, Proverbs 14:2. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. This path I'm on, it seems right and it seems good, and everyone's going down it. In fact, it's the broad way that many people are going down. Surely the broad way and the easy way is a good way. No, Jesus said the broad way is the path that leads to destruction. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There's so many paths in life you can take. There's so many choices you have in front of you. And they seem right and good, but many of those paths lead to death. Many of the paths, in fact, most of the paths of the world are going to lead us to death. Jesus brings us out of these things. But how are we going to know? How are we going to know the right path that we need to take? I thought I'd look in that chapter, see if there's something in the context. So later on in Proverbs 14, get down to verse 27, it says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death." Fear God. Trust God. Listen to God. Know that there's a judgment, that God's going to judge these. I need to do what God says. The fear of the Lord brings life and leads you away from these traps and snares of death. Proverbs 21, verse 2. "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart." It seems right, it seems good, but you know, the Lord looks pretty deep in the heart and considers my deepest motives. That's what it seems that Proverbs 21 verse 2 is getting at. If you say, "Behold, we didn't know this. We didn't know this was wrong. God, I'm sorry, I guess. I just didn't know that I shouldn't be doing that." Does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Doesn't he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And won't he repay man according to his work? Here's the thing, is we are so good at deceiving ourselves, self-justifying, and making an excuse. Well, if you look at it this way, it's probably okay. And we're just lying to ourselves. We deceive ourselves, and deep down we know better. Now, that voice telling me, that voice of honesty, that voice of integrity, that may be so small and quiet in my heart that it's barely there. But if we would listen to it, you know, I need to be more consistent. You know, I should ask God about this. Is this something I really should be doing? That voice is going to judge us because we weren't willing to listen to it. It looks right in my own eyes, but the Lord looks deep down in your heart. Or maybe it's this. At one time, we knew better. It's like at one time you had the awareness. You knew that it was wrong. But I squelched that voice for so long, I can't listen to that voice anymore. And so that conscience is deadened in myself. Jeremiah 10:23, "I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man who walks to direct his steps." God directs the paths that we should choose. My life is not what I want it to be, and I'm just living for myself. God's put us here to walk by faith and not by sight, but God directs the paths. It's this interesting thing God's put us in life. I get to choose, and I've got to live my life. I've got one way or another. I've got to make the choices I need to make, and I've got to walk. But it's not in me to direct the steps. I've got to walk, but I look to God to lead those steps. That He determines the path. He gives me the direction. The way of man is not in himself. You don't look inside for the answers. You look up to God for the answers. I don't look to what I want. I look to what God wants. This is how God wants us to walk and to live our life. Here's a good example. Here's a great example. Psalm 143, verses 8 through 10. "Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me to know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Lord, what way should I go? I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground." God, lead me. In paths of righteousness, lead me. May your rod and your staff direct me and guide me and comfort me. I put my trust in you. Lead me in the way that I should go. So here's the point. Don't listen to your heart. That's what you should not listen to. That's the last thing you should listen to. Practical suggestions then to how not to listen to this lie of the devil, this lie that the world tells us, this lie that the media tells us, the spirit of our age. Here's some practical suggestions. Number one, be brutally honest with ourselves and our motives. Number two, be mindful if we're drifting in the same direction as our culture. Number three, don't be wise in your own eyes. Number four, stand for the Lord. Number five, listen to God's voice. Number one, be brutally honest with ourselves and with our motives. Why am I doing this? Am I just making excuses? Look inside. What's the source of all this going on? Proverbs 20 verse 5 says, "The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." those deepest motives. Why am I struggling over and over again with this on the job? Why am I struggling with this in my marriage? Why am I struggling with this with my relationship with God? And if we can, what's going on deep in my heart? It says a man of wisdom is going to try to draw that out. It's a picture of a well and that bucket being led deep down into the well. You don't see the bucket filling with water. You don't see the bucket tilting over and filling up, but you can pull that up out. And now from the depth of the well, you pull this water. It's like from the depths of my motives, the depths of my motivation, I see what's going on in my heart. And so the man of understanding will draw it out. That could be me working on my own heart. What is it that I keep hitting? What's going on here? Maybe it's someone else. Someone else being able to help you to look at your motives and to get that well, that bucket of water coming out to analyze your motives. But either way, my deep motives, my deep purposes, they're in my heart. But people of wisdom work on that, pull up those motives. We need to be willing to ask ourselves, why am I doing this? Why do I want this? What's going on in my life? What's really going on in my heart here? Where is this desire coming from? Is it what God wants? Is this just something that I want? I'm being willing to ask ourselves those questions. Am I willing to get advice? Am I willing to talk to other people? The Proverbs talk about that. When I just want to do what I want to do, I don't talk to people about it. When I just want to do what I want to do, I just go do it. You know, I don't look to advice from others. And is that because I'm just doing what I want to do? Point number two, be mindful if we're drifting in the same direction as the culture. You know, we live pretty close to Clifty Creek as it winds through McCullough's Run Park there. And the kids like to go down there and they, you know, catch frogs and enjoy splashing around. And we've been down there and people are tubing down the river, right? The creek. Sometimes it's a river, but most of the time it's just kind of a little creek. They're just sitting there on their nice inflatable tube, drifting down. It looks nice. Looks like a nice way to get sunburn. And they're just enjoying that nice leisurely drift. And we kind of see that in the culture, right? Cultures are going a certain direction, and our culture has ideas that are big and exciting, and we're pursuing those new ideas, and it seems like everyone is kind of excited about this thing, and the culture just drifts along the stream. Now, I may say I'm not like the people in the world. They're far away from me, but you know, if we're all in the same river, we're all kind of drifting in the same direction together, and if I'm kind of drifting in the same direction as the world, they may feel far away, but they may not be far away for long if I'm still drifting in the same direction as everyone else. If I'm trending with cultural trends instead of standing firm or even fighting against cultural trends, maybe I'm not thinking as biblically as I'd like to think. I may think I'm strong, I'm a Christian, I'm just doing what God wants. But if I just notice that more and more, I'm just slowly thinking more and more like the world. I'm kind of trending like the world is trending. I need to be mindful of that. And, you know, I've been critical in this lesson of mass culture. You know, the kind of things that are the big movies, the news broadcasts, kind of the mass media at large. But, you know, we might find ourselves in a subculture that has its own news outlets. And the subculture has its own blogs. And it's its own whatever. And maybe I'm drifting along with that subculture just as much. Well, yeah, but it's not the mainstream. I know, but are we still drifting along with worldliness in a subculture? This is just part of being honest with ourselves. Is the world's direction impacting me? And am I kind of just following the trends of the world in my own way? It's going to be the same thing. Point number three, don't be wise in your own eyes. This is from the scripture reading this morning, Proverbs 3:7. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. If you think you're super smart, then you're not going to be very likely to listen to other people. If you think you're so wise, I've got all the answers, why would I listen so much to God? Instead of being like that child that Jesus talks about, you need to humble yourself, be like a child to enter the kingdom of God. I heard someone describe, this is not a compliment, someone describes someone else as, he always thinks he's the smartest person in the room. I hope that's never said of me by someone else. That's not good. If you always think you're the smartest person around, wise in your own eyes, you think you're so smart, you think you have all the answers. But let's amplify that to a whole culture. when we start thinking that we are so smart and our society is the smartest ever and we've made so much progress. It's not that I'm so smart. It's just that 21st century America has made so much progress over the morons in other cultures. And we have all the, we need to impose our world and culture on all these others. They need to be just as smart and open-minded and great as we are. That's the same thing. It's just being wise in my own eyes for a whole society instead of just me as a person. But we're still listening to ourselves. We're still proud. We're not listening to God. We're not fearing God and turning to Him. Number four, we need to stand for the Lord. Joshua said, choose this day whom you are going to serve. You're not going to serve the God. You figure out whoever it is you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And he stood with the Lord and on his word. There's no proverb that says, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And just like many proverbs, a lot of people think they know who first said it. They don't know. They said Alexander Hamilton says this. No, Alexander Hamilton probably did not say this. But there's just so much truth in this. If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. You see this in the Bible. For they leave the Lord and they fall into just who knows what. God says you pursue worthlessness and you become worthless yourselves. And so if we aren't grounded in the Lord, our hearts are just fertile ground. I'm just open season, easy shooting for any false idea, any false thing that comes along. If I'm not grounded in the Lord, I'm going to fall for any kind of thing that comes my way. We see this. Paganism is just back on the rise. I don't know if you've noticed that or seen that in the world, but things like worshiping Mother Earth are just back in vogue now. Norse mythology and like seeing truth and validity in old myths. Egyptian mythology, I saw this a lot in New York, of looking back on the Egyptian myths and the Book of the Dead and things like that. I mean, this is real and it's growing. And I think the old sentiment was, you know, if you ask people 100 years ago, they would say, yeah, we've outgrown that. We know those myths are silly, you know, those things aren't true. But I think the new sentiment is, you know, maybe they were onto something, right? You know, the way that they kind of were in touch with Mother Nature and you know, kind of those things, those really speak to me now. I wonder if those guys were honest. I need to return to my, you know, Nordic roots or Egyptian roots or whatever it is, because they really had a grasp of the truth back then. And just look for that. Just last week, Julian and I were driving. It was on our way down to the thing I was doing in Tennessee. And this car in front of us was doing some strange things, but it had a sticker on it, bumper sticker for Valhalla, right? It was kind of like, see in Valhalla, or I'm headed to Valhalla. And so I called the car as it was doing its crazy things. I started calling the car Valhalla, because that's what the bumper sticker said. And they're like, what's Valhalla? I was like, well, it's like the Norse place of the dead, like where warriors go when they die. So I Googled Valhalla bumper stickers, and there's lots of them. And people that just kind of, that speaks to them, right? That's where warriors are going to go when they die. And I think people are just more and more turning to those things as they've turned away from God and His truth. So just look for that. But it's true. It's real. Those things are out there. Number five is that we need to listen to God's voice. That's the voice we need to follow. We want God's word to be the loudest voice in our life. So this whisper and this voice and this person, I need God's word, God's voice to be the loudest in our life. I love this picture that's been in our Leviticus reading. Remember in Leviticus 8, when the priest was becoming a priest and being dedicated and consecrated to God, that some of the blood of that offering was put on his right earlobe and on his right thumb and on his right big toe. And interestingly, that's the same thing they did when Levites were purified and cleansed so that they can go back and worship at the temple as well. Put the blood on their right earlobe, their right thumb, their right big toe. What's the picture? It's a picture of dedication. I give my ears to God to listen to Him. I give my hands to God to do His work. And I give my feet to God to follow God and to live my life. So be like the priests. God made us into priests. Be like a priest. Give your ear to God. God, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to follow you. Here's our big verse. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Don't follow your heart. Don't listen to your heart. Have you been following your heart instead of God? Have you been following your ways and your desires instead of God's ways? Have you been following the voice of the world instead of the voice of God? Have you been listening to the world and its longings, its desires, and it's telling you can do what you want? Well, there's a sense, yeah, you can do what you want, but God will bring all these actions into judgment. And that's what we're here to do, is to help give you the life that will please God and bring true, eternal, lasting, good life with God, not the things that will keep us from God and bring us to death. So here's our invitation verse, Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. See that? Don't follow your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and He will make your path straight, or He will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't lean on our society, your people, your best friends, or whatever Facebook tells you. Fear God, keep His commandments, and God will bring you what you really need, which is Him, which is true life, which is eternal life, and having a relationship with God. Don't let any voice take you away from God. He is everything. He's what we need. He loves you, and He's calling for you to trust in Him with all your heart. Can we help you in these things? We'd be glad to study the Bible with you or to pray with you. We want to be able to be a blessing to you in any way. Let us know, maybe even now, while we stand and we sing a song of invitation.